So happy to see you again. I want to thank God for this time which He has given us again to be in His presence. Thank you for your coming. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this wonderful time which you have given us, Lord, to be in your presence, my Father. Come and reveal yourself unto us, my God. Give us enough understanding to understand what you want us to do or what you want us to know, my Father. Father, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that speak to somebody, Lord, tonight. Father, touch someone, my God, and transform somebody for your glory tonight, my God. Father, I know that you love us, my Father. And that's why you have brought us together in order to hear your word, Lord. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of God, flow within our lives. So that we may become what we are supposed to become, my God. So that we may know, do what we are supposed to do for your glory. Father, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for your loving kindness, my God. I thank you for your grace and favor. Lord, I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. On Wednesday, I started up a topic which says kingdom mentality. That we need to have kingdom mentality. Now, to have the kingdom mentality, that means you have to be mindful about the kingdom of God. You cannot think about the kingdom of God when you don't have kingdom mentality. And it's very important to have the mentality of God's kingdom. This message, God gave it to me last year. He told me that He wants people who can stand there for His kingdom. That He wants people who are going to give their life for His kingdom. He wants people who are going to build up His kingdom, not their kingdom.
Right.
Now from there, I went into prayers asking God, what should I do? Then He started giving me the messages concerning the kingdom mentality. Because people, they are building up their own kingdoms. They are so mindful about themselves, but not about God's kingdom. That's why we are not so effective, because we think about ourselves. We mind about our lives. We are there for ourselves, not there for God. And it's the heart of God to see that we expand His kingdom. Now He's looking for people who are there for His kingdom, not there for their kingdom. He's looking for people who are going to give Him their life for His kingdom. People are going to spend their money for His kingdom. Not those who are building up their own kingdom. Because it's very easy for somebody to build up His kingdom in the name of God. We have people who are building up their own kingdom, although they are as if they are doing the work of God, but they are putting up their own kingdom. Now, it's really important, you and me, to stand up for God's kingdom. Amen. Those who were there when I started, I gave you four questions. One was, are you mindful of God's kingdom? Are you mindful of God's kingdom? The second question was, do you think about the kingdom of God? Do you get time and sit down and think about the kingdom of God? Or you think about your problems and challenges and discouragement and, being hurted. That's what you think about. Do you get time and think about the kingdom of God? As we do, sometimes people, they make a year plan. You plan for a year. You plan for a month. Do you get time and sit down and plan for God's kingdom? The third one, Do you give time for God's kingdom? Do you give your time? Do you have any time which you have set aside? That's for God's kingdom. Yeah, you can tell me that, Pastor, I come and fellowship, which is good. But fellowshipping, you benefit. God does not benefit. Because when you come, God speaks to you. He does not benefit, you benefit. When you say, no, oh God, I get time and worship Him. That is your work. That's one of the reasons why we are created, to worship God. Amen. Now, when you worship Him, you are doing what you are supposed to do. And when you worship Him, you benefit too. Because you are building up relationship with Him. Now, coming in a church, you benefit. Giving your tithe, you benefit. Everything you do, you benefit. But also God wants somewhere where He benefits.
Amen.
He wants somewhere where you can give Him time so that He can benefit too. Now, do you give your time for God's kingdom? Some people, they don't have that time. They are so busy doing their own things. Now, today, as God has brought us here, I'm asking God at least to speak with someone. Someone who can stand up and be there for the kingdom of God. The last question. Are you there for the kingdom of God? Are you there for the kingdom of God? Or you are there for your job and everything? But are you there for the kingdom of God? When we talk to somebody who is there for the kingdom of God, are you there? If God goes on looking for somebody who is there, are you among of those who are there? If you are not among of those who are there, please, today is the high time to change your ways and you be there for the kingdom of God. If you are not there for the kingdom of God, who is going to be there for the kingdom of God? If you are not there for the kingdom of God, who is going to be there if you are not there for the kingdom of God? If you don't have time for the kingdom of God, who is going to have time for His kingdom? If you don't think about the kingdom of God, who is going to think about the kingdom of God? You're the one who said that, I'm part of the kingdom of God. God is my God and is my King. If you cannot think about His kingdom, who is going to think about His kingdom?
There you go.
Therefore, we are the people who are supposed to think about His kingdom. We are the people who are supposed to be there for His kingdom.
Amen.
Remember, before you came to Christ, you were there for the kingdom of the devil.
That's right.
Remember everything which you did, building up the kingdom of the devil. You gave your life to serve the devil. You gave your money to serve the devil. Your time to serve the devil. You did everything to establish the devil, the devil's kingdom. Within your life. We have your non-born again, they drink, they their own drugs. That's the kingdom of the devil.
Right.
They are teaching even other people to live on drugs. They are expanding it. Even you before that, you used to do that. Now when you came to the kingdom of God, you relaxed. Mm-hmm. You don't have time for His kingdom. You spare even your money, you don't want to give it to His kingdom. You don't want even to give your life to His kingdom. Now God is looking for people who are there to build up His kingdom. Who are there to stand for His kingdom. Who are there to give their life for His kingdom. Who are there to give even their money for His kingdom. Because God is a king. I told you that this is I called it the throne of God's kingdom. Those who were here when I started. Then when God created everything, He first created the heavens. And the Bible says in Isaiah 66 that His throne, the heaven is His throne. The throne of His kingdom, that's where He rules. But one day He thought how He can expand His kingdom. He wanted to enlarge His kingdom. Then He created a man here. He put him in the place of dominion. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 22 to 26 to 28, the Bible said that let's make a man in our own image. Let him have dominion over everything. Now this was a place of dominion and fellowship with God. When you read well in Genesis chapter 3, God used to come from heaven to come and visit Adam. They had a fellowship. Is that clear? He used to come and fellowship with him. To talk with him. To communicate with him. He was given dominion. Verse 28, the Bible said that God told Adam to subdue. To subdue the earth. Everything which is living on earth, everything which is moving on earth, Adam, he had to subdue it under the leadership of God. Under the kingdom of God. All people were supposed to be on earth, they were supposed to be subdued to his kingdom. Right. Under his leadership.
Right.
That was the plan of God. That's what God wanted. That's the reason why he created a man. To subdue everybody. To subdue everything. Under his leadership. Under his kingdom.
Exactly.
That was the work of Adam. One of his work. But he did not fulfill that. He sinned against God. His separation came. Because sin separates you from God.
Right.
Now, he was separated from God. He fell from the place of dominion or from the place of fellowship with his God. Now, when he fell from the place of fellowship with his God, he started fellowshipping with the devil.
Right.
Behaving like the devil, doing the will of the devil, living the life of the devil, everything with the devil. He said, instead of subduing people into the kingdom of God, he started subduing people into the kingdom of the devil. The purpose of God was him to subdue everybody into his kingdom. But he subdued everyone into the kingdom of the devil. That's why that all of us were born in sin, because Adam did that. Instead of subduing us into the kingdom of God, he subdued us into the kingdom of the devil. Now each one of us, we were born in sin. We lived in sin. Because we are born in the kingdom of the devil. When we grew up, we started also doing the same thing. Expanding the kingdom of the devil. Living the way the devil wants. Obeying his voice, fulfilling his will. Not the will of God. Even these days you meet somebody and ask him about God, he tells you that God is not there. Why? Because Adam, instead of subduing people into his God's kingdom, he subdued them into the kingdom of the devil. Now when you tell them about God, they say God is not there. They don't believe in God. Because that's where they were subdued. Now, they are building up the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the devil, expanding the kingdom of the devil. Now, because God did not give up of his plan. He had to sit down and plan to see how he can expand his kingdom. That's why he had to send John. John, in John chapter 1 verse 6, we read the other day that verse. He sent John, and John came, John the Baptist. When he came on earth, he started with a message which you read in Matthew chapter 3 from verse 1. That was a message, he said that, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
God sent him to come and prepare the way. And the only way of preparing the way was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He told people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message through all his ministry. That's why, because he preached the gospel of the kingdom, that's why the Pharisees and every people, they came and they repented their sin. Because the gospel of the kingdom, it has power to transform somebody from where he is to another level. Now that's why when you read well in Matthew chapter 3, people, they came and they repented. Because he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, telling people that repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't you think that even John could find, sit down and make his own notes and make up his own program? He was a human being also. He could make up and say, no, this is the message which I feel I could like to preach. He could also decide to do what he wanted. But he had kingdom mentality. He was mindful about the kingdom of God. That's why he preached the kingdom of, the message of the kingdom of God. Now, what do we preach? That's your question. Now, after John being that, also Jesus came. God sent Jesus. And when Jesus came, he started with the same message. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, he said that, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why even when Jesus came, he preached about the kingdom of heaven? Because that was the minds of his father. What are we preaching? Which type do we live? Which type of life do we live? Are we living a kingdom life? We have some people, the way how they live is a question mark. Although they are Christians, but their life which they are living is not the life of the kingdom of God. They are not there for the kingdom of God. They are not there to live the life of the kingdom. Is that clear? Jesus, he started preaching the gospel. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, let's start from verse 18. I want someone to read. 13 from verse 18. Yeah, Matthew chapter 13 from verse 18,
18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not,
Can you jump and go to verse 24?
Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way.
Can you go to verse 31?
Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Which a man took and sowed in his field.
Father 3.
Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven.
Can you go to verse 38?
The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world.
To 41. Verse 44.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath.
47.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast
51.
Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
One stop there. Now let's see in Matthew chapter 13. When you see in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God 10 times just in one chapter. All his teaching, all his parable was on the kingdom of heaven. When you read from verse 18, you see, verse 18, 19, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. He started interpreting to them the parable, the meaning of the parable, and he told them that when someone hears the word of the kingdom. Why Jesus was talking about the kingdom? Why all into his ministry was putting his emphasis on God's, on the kingdom of heaven? Why? The emphasis of Jesus was on God's kingdom. In all his teaching, when you read Matthew from chapter 5, he talks about the kingdom of his Father. When you read all and follow well his ministry, he used to put his emphasis on the kingdom of his Father. Why he was teaching about the kingdom of his Father? Because that was the original plan of God, to expand his kingdom, to bring down here his kingdom, so that people they can submit under his leadership. Now, because Jesus knew what his Father wanted, that's why he sticked on that, that's why he put more emphasis on that. Teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He had kingdom mentality. He was mindful about the kingdom of his Father. He was mindful about the minds of God. Everywhere he went, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. He thought about the kingdom of his Father. When you read in Acts, in Matthew chapter 13, we have seen there, Matthew chapter 20, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. When he taught Matthew 22, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. Everywhere he talks about the kingdom of heaven. That means that's the minds of God. That's the will of God. He wants people to come into his kingdom. He wants his people to become builder of his kingdom. He wants people to be part of the kingdom of God. Not just to come and live in the kingdom of God when you are doing nothing in the kingdom of God. You need to be part and do something in his kingdom. But we have some people, they come in the church and they watch what is going on. They are not willing to be part of what God is doing. They are not willing to stand up and build up the kingdom of God. The more you enlarge the kingdom, it becomes powerful. When we don't enlarge the kingdom of God, that's why the kingdom of God becomes weaker. Are you there for God's kingdom? Do you give your time for God's kingdom? Jesus taught about the kingdom of God in all his ministry. He was after preaching, building up the kingdom of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. Read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. Let's think about that verse. Do you have the mind of Christ? I'm asking. Do you have the mind of Christ? The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we want to know if we have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ is not just being spoken about it. Not just to quote it and say that I have the mind of Christ. Somebody who have got the mind of Christ, even the fruits which comes out of him, it proves what he is. Now, if Christ, his mind was after God's kingdom, and you who is saying that you have the mind of Christ, and you are not after God's kingdom, then you don't have the mind of Christ. If Christ had the mind of Christ, if the mind of Christ was to build up the kingdom of God, and you are not building up the kingdom of God, you are building up your own kingdom, then you don't have the mind of Christ. Are you getting me? If Christ had the mind of God, Christ had the mind of building up the kingdom of God, he offered his life even to see that he can establish the kingdom of God on earth. And you cannot offer even your life, even time, for the kingdom of God. That means you don't have the mind of Christ. Christ, he was in heaven before he came on earth. He had not sinned. Angels, they were worshipping him. He was doing well with his Father. But because of building up the kingdom of God on earth, he decided to leave all his glory. He started even to leave, even angels were worshipping him. He left even his Father there. Then he came on earth. When he came on earth, he started preaching about the kingdom of his Father. You cannot even offer time to go on a street to tell somebody about the kingdom of God. Jesus, he left the heaven to come on earth to tell you to share with you about you to share with you about the kingdom of his Father, to see that he can establish the kingdom of his Father, to see that he can bring people into the kingdom of his Father. He left all his glory and came here on earth. You cannot even offer time to leave your comfortable zone, to leave your home, and you go out to tell somebody that Christ loves you, to tell somebody about the kingdom of God. I don't think that your home is so better than the heaven. I don't think that your home is so glorious than the heaven. But Jesus left all his glory, glorious place. He left everything and put on this mere body, sinful body. Remember, he was whole, he's holy. But he's ready to put on this sinful body. He came and suffered simply because he may share with somebody about the kingdom of heaven, so that he can bring somebody into the kingdom of heaven. For 33 years, he was putting on one garment. Why he was doing that? Because he wanted to establish the kingdom of God somewhere. But you cannot offer that. You cannot go out for that. You cannot do anything in the church to see at least that you are building up the kingdom of heaven. All the time is about you. Me. Not about him. Jesus leaving his kingdom for 33 years. Started living on this earth. No anywhere to sleep. Because after he used to heal people, after healing them, nobody could take him at his home. He had to look for the mountains, spend the night there. But he bared that because he wanted to put up the kingdom of his father. Now, why do you think about that? Are you there for the kingdom of God? Do you get time and think about the kingdom of God? You find some people, you can ask them, what are they doing in their church? You have a church? Yes, I have a church. What do you do in the church? No. I have nothing. You have nothing. Are you a builder? Why do you have nothing? Don't you think that there's certain things which you can do in your church? We shall see that there in later. God does not want anybody to just sit. He does not want anybody to come and sit in the church watching what is going on. He wants everybody to be involved in what is going on. We shall see that either today or tomorrow. Now, if we have the minds of Christ, we need to stand for the kingdom of God. If we have the minds of Christ, we have to expand the kingdom of God. If we have the minds of Christ, we have to go and we tell somebody about the kingdom of God. If we have the minds of God, we have to be involved in everything of God. Preach the gospel. Do something for God to see that you put up his kingdom. Don't just come in a church and you watch what is going on. Be part of what is going on. That's the heart of God. God is not interested in the believers who comes and sit. He is not interested in them. He is interested in somebody who does something for him. We are there to build up his kingdom. Now, when Jesus came, he preached about the kingdom of his father. When you read in John chapter 3, can you read there? John chapter 3. We are reading from verse 1.
Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
You can't even stop that. You hear? Now this is Nicodemus. He was a leader of a synagogue. He was a reader. He was a teacher of the synagogue. That means he had followers who used to come in the church. He preached. He teaches them the laws of the of God. But one day he met Jesus. Then he told Jesus, except God is with somebody, he cannot do what you are doing except God is with him. Then Jesus told him, then let me tell you, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Imagine, even now, he's still talking about the kingdom of God. Now, he told the man that except somebody is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Do you have your friends? Do you have friends? Are they born again? What have you done in order to see that really? If really they are your friends, and if really you are the good friend, what have you done to see that they are born again, so that both of you, you go with them in heaven? What have you done? If you are good friend, me that, what I know about the friend, the good friend, is somebody who is there for you, whether the situation is good or bad. It's somebody who does not hide anything, any good things from his friend. Now, if being born again is good, and you need your friends also to go in heaven, what have you done? You just call them on the phone and you chat. Or your conversation, you have never told them about the kingdom of God. Then you are not a good friend. Jesus said, no greater love than this. Somebody to give his life for his friends. That means if you have friends and they are your friends, you love them, you are a good friend, you have to offer even your life, your time. You have to do everything to see that these people, so they come into the kingdom of God. Because you need also one day, you want to meet them in heaven, you want to sit with them because they are your friends. But what have you done? Oh, you can tell me that, Pastor, I told them, but they couldn't listen. How many times we have been sinning against God and he bears us and gives us another chance? Why can't you give them another chance? Why can't you find out another way? Call them at dinner. Take them at dinner. Call them. Love them. Don't behave the way they behave. Live a life of king of the kingdom, so that they can see a difference between you and them. So they can realize that really they are in another kingdom. You are into another kingdom. But sometimes they are not sure if you mean what you are saying. You are like them. They say, therefore, I'm fine where I am, because the one who is saying that also is born again, to see how he behaves. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus that unless you are born again, that means all your friends who are not born again, they will never enter heaven. They will never see the kingdom of God. Maybe your family members, if they are not born again, they will never see the kingdom of God. Now, it's you and me. It's our duty to see how these people become born again so that they can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was a leader. If the leader had to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, what of the followers? That means he was leading all people not in the kingdom of God, but into hell. He was not building up the kingdom of God. He was building up his own kingdom. Plus all the believers. Now let me question you. I know that some of you came from different churches. Thank you for coming. But are you just a believer sitting in the church? You are doing nothing in the church? Don't be like these people in the church of Nicodemus. He was just leading them, but they didn't know that they are not going to heaven even. They were not active. They were doing nothing in the church too. Now, if your leader has to be born again, that means even you, the follower, you have to be born again. If your leader has been not doing good, that means also you have been not doing good. Then he told him that, priest, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That means the first key to somebody to enter into the kingdom of God, he is to be born again. These days, some churches, they don't preach about that. They don't preach about that. What they want is people to be in the church, that's all. Whether they're born again or not, as long as they're living in the church. I cannot bear that. Because God did not call me to pastor just people. He called me to pastor people who are born again. And not only being born again, but all of them to be disciples of Christ. But these days we don't preach about people being born again. We just excite them as long as we have them in the church. That's not our duty. That's not building up the kingdom of heaven. All people, they must be born again. Leave alone this saying of yours here in United States that we were born in a Christian family. Living in a garage cannot make it be a car. If you want, I need a car, let me then start living in the garage. You will never become a car. Living in the Christian family, growing in the Christian family, does not make you a Christian. Does not make you a born again. It's a lifestyle. God is not after the lifestyle. God is not after where you grew up. He wants you to be born again. Now, if you are here, you have been so proud because you grew up in the Christian family. If you are not born again, you will never see the kingdom of God until you accept Jesus and give your life to Jesus and you allow him to become Lord of your life. That's when you are going to see the kingdom of God. Let's stop building up our kingdoms. Let us build the kingdom of God, telling people to repent and come out of their sins. Nicodemus, Jesus told him that unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if really we have the minds of Christ, that's what we are supposed to tell people. Even your friends. Tell them, my friend, I love you, but you must be born again. Oh, you are my friend, I feel I love you, you are good to me, but you must be born again so that you can enter into heaven. If he's to offer you a money, do that. Buy him something, at least let him, Because by doing that, you are bringing somebody into the kingdom of heaven. Live that life. Is that clear? I believe that God is talking to somebody. Maybe you have been giving excuses. Maybe you have been not minding about the kingdom of God. Today is high time to try out and you do the kingdom of and build up the kingdom of God. Jesus went on telling him, please, that except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless somebody is born of water. Remember Jesus when he gave his great commission to these disciples. He told them that go and baptize them. Today we have believers in the church who are not baptized. Maybe also you are here, you are not baptized. We have some believers, some leaders, they are not baptized. One day in Uganda, there's a certain pastor, a friend of mine, he told me that, Pastor, can you come and assist me? We have to go to baptize people. I told him that I'm busy. Let me send some people to come and do that for you. He said, no, I want you. Then until I set up a time, we went. Start baptizing people. Now, as we were about to finish, he came to me and told me that, Pastor, do you know why I wanted you to come and baptize? Because I want also to baptize me. Because I'm not baptized, even my wife. Ask him, you a pastor? You are not baptized? And you're leading all these people? Now we have even some leaders who are not baptized. They don't mention about baptism. As long as we have them in the church. As long as we have your people. Church, let me tell you, if you're here and you're not baptized, go and look, talk to your pastor. You must be baptized. Here he said that unless somebody is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, after being born again, the second step is to be baptized. And when I'm talking about baptism, I don't mean sprinkling. I mean baptism. To be immersed. We have some people saying that, me, I'm baptized because they sprinkled you on you. Jesus did not say that we have to sprinkle people. He said baptizing them, to immerse them. That's what even Jesus did. When he went, John immersed him, but he immersed him, but not sprinkling him on him. Now some people think that also sprinkling is one of the way the baptism. That's the system of a man. We are not talking about the system of the man. That's building up their own kingdom in order to keep people there. We are not after that. We are after what the Bible says. The Bible says somebody must be born again. He must be baptized. In March, we did a crusade in our church for 2 weeks. Then God gave us people who came to Christ. We were 150 who gave their life to Christ. But we had to teach them why they are supposed to be baptized. What is Christian? Why somebody must be born again? What is Christianity? Then also baptism. Then me, I came. After that, I started doing my work. Then that some ministers, they went on teaching them. Now, they told me that they went and baptized 20 people. Yesterday, they emailed me, they have baptized another 10. We need to baptize people. Don't just keep them there. And if you're not baptized, you need to be baptized. If they sprinkled on you, forget that. That's not baptism. Some people, they're fearing water. How can I go down there? Yeah, I was baptized by mess, but I did not die there. You won't die. Now, Jesus said that unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus is still putting his emphasis on the kingdom of God. Now, hear me. Why we need to have kingdom mentality? The first point, that is the original plan of God. That's the original plan of God. That's God, what he wanted, when he was creating a man. Second thing why we have to be mindful about the kingdom of God, that's God's will. When you are there to build up the kingdom of God, you are in God's will. That's God, what he wants. That's what God, he wants. If you don't do that, then you are not doing what he wants. Third thing, the gospel of the kingdom, it has power to transform someone. Now, when you start sharing the gospel of the kingdom, if you have kingdom mentality, it touches people. That's why you see that when John started, he started with the repenting. Because the gospel of the kingdom, it has to change somebody and repent and come into the right fellowship with God. Now, when you preach the gospel of the kingdom, people, they have to repent. People, they have to change their ways, style of living. When you are there for the kingdom of God, when you are mindful about the kingdom of God, even you have to be transformed. Because you cannot give what you don't have. Kingdom mentality, it will change you. Why we don't see people changing in the churches? Because they are not mindful about the kingdom of God. That's why there's no change. Somebody can tell you, 5 years, I'm born again, but there's no change in him. He does not forgive. He hates everybody. He's not teachable. When you warn him, when you teach him, he becomes mad against you. Some people, they leave the church because they are blamed them about their behaviors. I've never stayed here because they taught me this and this and they go. Because they don't want anybody to rebuke them. They don't want anybody to tell them their mistake, what they are doing. For 10 years, you are not willing to submit. 10 years, you are not willing even to rebuke you through the word of God, to warn you what you are doing. 10 years, that means you don't have kingdom mentality. The kingdom mentality, it has to change somebody. And you live the life of the kingdom of God. Even your neighbors, they are not sure if really you are Christian because of the way how you are living. Are you getting me? Now, why we need to have kingdom mentality? So that we can be transformed. The kingdom mentality, the message of the kingdom, it changes people. It changes you too. It changes you. If you can change and your husband changes, both of you change, you will have a better family, a better marriage. But now we have some marriages which are a hell in one or another. Because they are Christians, but when you put them into one place, they want to kill one another. Because they are not kingdom mindful. They don't have kingdom mentality which changes them to make them a better person. Now, that's why we need to have kingdom mentality in order to change us and to change other people. The kingdom mentality, the gospel of the kingdom, it changes people. Not only people, it changes even the area. It touches the area. That's why Jesus He put all his emphasis about the kingdom all the time, about the kingdom of heaven. He knows by the kingdom of heaven, he will be able to transform the lives of people. Now, if we have kingdom mentality, all of us in the church, we are going to change. We are going to live a holy life. We are going to live to stand right with God, because that's the kingdom mentality. It transforms somebody. It has power to do that. That's why in John, when he started preaching, he said, repent. Jesus, repent. We shall see when the apostles also, they started repenting. Because he knows that the gospel of the kingdom, it causes somebody to repent his sin and come out of it. Amen. Today we have people who are not repenting because of the gospel which we're preaching. Point number 4. Why we have to be my kingdom mentality. Because once we start building up the kingdom of God, we are building up the life of God within a dying nation.
Amen.
Let's believe this. Your nation is dying.
Yes.
It's dying.
Yes.
We need to believe that. You need to believe that. Your nation is dying. But it's very bad to look at your nation dying. And you know what you are supposed to do and you don't do it. Your nation became a superpower because it was built on biblical principles. Now because it has gone out of God's biblical principles, that's why it's dying. We don't have people who have got kingdom mentality, who are mindful about the kingdom of God. They are mindful about themselves. That's why the nation is dying. Do you believe that? Let me say, are you also ready to die with your nation?
No.
What have you done? You need to be there for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Build up the kingdom of God. As you're building up the kingdom of God, you are building life in the dying nation. Then you shall be able to pull, to bring back the nation on its foundation. Now you can tell him that, Pastor, I'm not a leader. How can I do it? Yeah. You don't need to become a leader in order to do it. Because the leaders are the very, very people who destroy everything. I see it in Africa. Yeah. I see it in Africa. Our nations in Africa, they are suffering because of the leaders. 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 They kill everybody. When you ram them, that's where they are going to put you in prison. You die there. They are after what they want, not what people want. They are after what they want, not what God wants. Right. Now you to bring changes in the nation, or to bring life in the nation, you don't need to be a leader in order to do that. You can be what you are, and you do what you're supposed to do. Now we need to be there for the kingdom of God. Let's eat. Have kingdom mentality. You transform your life. Transform and live a life of kingdom of God. Tell somebody about the kingdom of God. Be part of the kingdom of God. The more you do that, other people that will join you to do that. By and by, you'll be able to serve your nation.
Amen.
We need to bring back the kingdom of God. We need to build again the kingdom of God in your nation so that you can serve your nation. If not that, you are losing it.
Amen.
Why we are seeing changes in Uganda? Because during the regime of Amin, because he used to kill everybody. But there's a group of people, few people, who used to go and hide themselves. Sometimes, some of them, they went into the caves. They start praying for the nation, calling upon God to redeem our nation. Not only doing that, even to share with the people, although they knew that once they get you, you are dead. But they gave in even their life to tell people about Christ, hiding themselves. Some they were praying under the branches of trees, because when he knows that once he is down, he might be captured. He decided to climb that tree so they can pray when he's watching what is going on, to warn other people. Now, through that prayers, God changed everything. Now, our president, he's a Christian. When we call upon, when we call born again meetings, prayers, he is involved into it.
Wow.
One day we organized the prayer meeting, he came and handed over the flag into our hands and said that now I hand over this nation into the chair, into the hands of the church.
Right.
We have a revenue authority which is working on taxes. The president said that I need who people were born again to work into it. He told the pastors, bring people who are faithful from your churches. Let them, so that we can train them and they work into those parliaments. Now the leader of the revenue authority is born again. In each and every office, people, they are born again there. It's what through some people who were not in the leadership, who went down and started praying, telling God about the issue of the nation, sharing the kingdom of God. Now that's why we are seeing what we are seeing. We have members of parliament who are born again. Every lunch hour, they come together and they pray. Members of parliament. We have some soldiers who are born again. Every year, they organize a meeting and they call pastors to come and pray with them and show them the word of God.
Amen.
People who are working in offices. Officers who have got their businesses, we have time of lunch whereby people, they have to go and eat their lunch. Most of people, they decided not to go to their food. Let them come in the church during those lunch hour. Let them praise God and hear the word of God. We have a lunch hours in our nation. It's because somebody, they stood up, those who had the kingdom mentality, who were mindful about what is going on, they said, decided to create up life. They said create up kingdom of God in a dying nation.
Amen.
You can do it. Jesus was one man, but he did it. Up to now, we are talking about him.
Amen.
We are more than one. We can do it as long as we have a kingdom mentality.
Amen.
You shouldn't allow your nation to die when you are watching. You cannot get guns to go and fight. No. But you have the word of God and transform your mentality. Stop building your own kingdom. Build up the kingdom of God. Stop being mindful about your life, about your you. Put aside and be mindful about God's kingdom.
Amen.
Things have to change.
Amen.
Your forefathers, they were mindful about the kingdom of God, not of their life. That's why they managed to put this nation on the biblical foundation. You, because now most of you are mindful about you. That's why the nation is going off. Nobody putting this down back there. You need. God is looking for people who are going to stand there for his kingdom. Who are going to give their life for his kingdom. Who are going to give time for his kingdom. Are you getting me? Now, Jesus told Nicodemus, please, you must be born again. You must be baptized, born of water. If you are here, you are not baptized, please, you better go and tell your pastor that he will baptize you. Because that's part of the kingdom of God. Not just, we don't want just to have you in the church. We have hundreds of people who are not baptized. Hundreds of people who are not born again. You just say, I have hundreds of people, but all of them, they are going to hell. Nicodemus, that's what he was doing. He was a leader. He was teacher of the law. But he was not born again. That means all the people whom were following him, they were going in hell. We have even these days, some leaders, that's what they do. They are after numbers of people. They are not after people who are right with God. We need to have the minds of Christ. Is that clear?
Yes.
The Bible said that we have the minds of Christ, but we see what was in the minds of Christ. The minds of Christ was God's kingdom. He talks about the kingdom of God. He thinks about the kingdom of God. Now Jesus, he came and preached the gospel of the kingdom and also to bring us back in our fellowship with God. In the place where we can subdue everybody into his kingdom. Let's read that chapter. Genesis chapter 1 verse 8. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28.
Just verse
28.
And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
You hear? Subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Subdue it. Now, because we couldn't fulfill, Adam couldn't fulfill what God wanted, Jesus came and picked us from where we fell, using the gospel of the kingdom. He brought us back in the place of fellowship with God and also subduing the nation. Now, it's our duty to subdue the earth. You are not going to box them in order to subdue them. You don't need to abuse them in order to subdue them. You are not supposed to hate them in order to subdue them. We subdued them with having kingdom mentality.
Right.
With being mindful about the kingdom of God. Let's go back a little bit about Jesus. Because we remember, the Bible told us that we have the minds of Christ. Christ, when he was hanged on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, because they don't know what they do, what they are doing." Somebody losing his life, he said that, "Forgive them." Now, if he forgives them, what of you? Can you forgive your enemies? It's very hard. Somebody can tell you, "But Pastor, you are saying that because you don't know what he did to me." I don't need to know what you did, what he did to you. But once you have a kingdom mentality and you have the minds of Christ, no matter what they did to you, you have to forgive them.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Yep.
One day I was preaching somewhere, then a certain sister said that, "Pastor is saying that because they didn't do it to him." I don't need somebody to do what he did to you in order to forgive him. That's what the Bible tells me, that we need to forgive.
Amen.
That's kingdom mentality.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. Now, if we are to subdue all the people until God's kingdom, we need first of all to forgive our enemies.
Amen.
Because once you forgive him, you will pray for him.
Yes.
You cannot pray to somebody whom you have not forgiven. You have first of all to forgive him. Then you take a step of praying for him. The Bible says that bless your enemies. Don't curse them.
Amen.
You cannot bless them unless you forgive them. Bless those who persecute you. You cannot bless them unless you forgive them. Now, you might find that because you hate them, you won't subdue them into the kingdom of God. And our duty is to subdue everybody under the leadership of God. To subdue our families, our friends, everyone. To subdue the earth into the leadership of God. Now, when you cannot forgive, then you cannot do that. You have to love them. The Bible says that don't love only those who love you. Love even those who hate you.
Right.
But some people are so good in loving those who love them. Love even those who persecute you. Those who are your enemy. Love them in order to bring them into to subdue them into the kingdom of God. Let me give you a testimony. in Uganda, where the place where we have a church, there's somebody who gave us a land first of all as we were starting up the church, and told us put up a church there, raise some money, and buy it. Now, because we had just started, people, there were very few. Some of them, they were not working. We couldn't raise that money. Then, we had other churches around us. Then they went, those churches, those pastors, they came together and decided to look for somebody who can come and buy the land where we had put up the church. Somebody came and bought the land. He faced the church. Then I had to talk with we have LOC, that's the local government, LOCs. And when I talked with him, also he was bribed. He was on the other side. Now they couldn't give us the time which we wanted. But after that, we had to look for somewhere where we are now. The certain sister gave us his compound to put up a church there. Then this local councilman, the chairman, he was not born again. He came and told him that, "Pastor, Those who did that, they were full of pastors. He mentioned their names. He kept quiet. Then one day, one of those pastors, they got a problem in their church. Now when they got that problem, the only person to assist them, it was me. Then they came to me. What I did, I welcomed them. I sat with them from 11 up to 5, solving their problem. They thought that maybe I won't be able to assist them. But because when I sat with them and I assisted them, I gave them counsel, I prayed with them, I loved them, it touched them. They went back, they discussed about it. We didn't know that Pastor Steve can welcome us because he knew everything which we did. Really, he's a man of God. That was a lesson to them. Then after a few months, another pastor too, he got problem with this LOC chairman. They came and put his church down, they disorganized everything. Now he went and spoke with other pastors and said, no, the man who can assist you, go to Pastor Steve. Then he told them, don't you remember what we did to him? I don't believe that he can come and assist me. They told him that go there because he assisted us. Then he came. When he came, I put him in the car. We went and I saw the church. I came back, I wrote a letter to those LOCs. Then after writing a letter to those LOCs, I gave him some money that go and buy cement and to put up your church. Then after 2 weeks, come and we shall gather another money in the church and give it to you. When he went back, he told his friends that I wish I was not part of what we did. Now they are regretting. But what I did was to forgive them, to love them, to stand with them. They will never do that again to anybody.
Right.
Now, if we are to submit everybody into the kingdom of God, we need to love those who hate us.
Yeah.
We need to forgive our enemies. We need to pray for everybody. We need to take even the gospel to them in order to bring them under the leadership of God.
Yeah.
Not under the leadership of a man.
Right.
Not under the kingdom of somebody, but under the kingdom of our God.
Yeah.
That is the main purpose of God. We need to stand up and be there for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now when Jesus brought us here back, we need to subdue people to his kingdom. Love them, pray for them, assist them where it needs to be assisted. You know, stand with them in every situation. Then they said, they're not born again. I cannot assist them. Assist them how the way you can. So that you bring them. Do that with a focus of bring them into the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
the thing which you do, see that you do it for God's kingdom. Not you to be seen, not you to be known. Because we have some people, they want to do certain things in the church so that you can praise them. If you don't praise them, they are annoyed. Oh, Pastor, I come and arrange the church and I do this and this and this. Even he does not shake my hand, he does not talk about me. You don't need any man to talk about you. You need God to talk about you.
Amen.
You don't need any man to thank you. You need God to thank you. That's the only person whom you need to thank you. Now, if you are doing anything because of a man, that's wrong. If you are preparing a church because of your pastor, that's wrong. Do it because of God. Allow him to speak to you. Allow him to bless you. Allow him to thank you, to appreciate you. Because that's what God wants. We are living in a dying nation. How can we bring life into the dying nation? We need to be mindful about the kingdom of God. If we are mindful about the kingdom of God, we shall be able to bring life in the dying nation. Is that clear? Now, because Jesus knew, after bringing us here, Jesus knew that he is one person. He can transform all people. He had to make disciples using the gospel of the kingdom, making disciples so that he can go on doing what he was supposed to do. Now from there, Jesus, he started looking for the people, for disciples. That's how he came up even having the 12 apostles. Making disciples. So that they can go on doing what he had to do. So that they can go on expanding the kingdom of heaven. Let me finish up with this. Tomorrow I'm going to start with the disciples. Because after Jesus doing everything, he made up disciples. We want to find out if you are a disciple of Christ. When you don't have kingdom mentality, that means you are not a disciple of Christ. You need to become a disciple of Christ to have the mental kingdom mentality. Now hear me as I'm winding up. When you look around where you are living, you may find that your home is surrounded by the certain things, but all those things belongs to the kingdom of the devil. You might find bars there, pubs, people they're drinking there. Around you, there's a kingdom of that's the center of God, the kingdom of the devil. Drugs, I think you know that well. Some of your houses, you have an extra access to computers. Those computers are so good. But the devil is using that to destroy your kids. You see what they're watching. You bought a computer. He's in the bedroom of your room, or the bedroom of your kid. You don't know what he's watching at night. You don't know. You will find him very busy on the computer. You don't know what's going on. All those are the channels of the devil to expand his kingdom. You have some movies. You buy them even for your kids. Then they are destroyed. You find yourself also building up the kingdom of the devil. Go and enter into the room of your child. You'll find on the women who are naked, all those funny things, pictures, they're in the rooms of your children. There's not any word which talks about God. Because even when you go, even in your room too, you parents, you don't have any symbol of God. You don't have even any written verse in your room. Now even your daughters, your sons, that's what they have. Now how can we bring even our family to submit it or to subdue it into the kingdom of God? Let's get good words, biblical words, put them into your bedroom, into the bedrooms of your kids. Let them read it. Because what you see, it affects your mind. What you see, it transforms the minds of somebody. Now when they see the word of God, it assists you to transform their minds. Let them think about it. If we are to make up and build up the kingdom of God, unless you might find that even your child are among of people who are dying, and they are dying in your own houses.